Hello again and welcome back. We come your way 7 days a week to tell you interesting things about our world. And we do it in a way that makes it easy for you to improve your American English skills. Today, our first stop is a place near New York City that many of America's immigrants knew very well when they first set foot on land in their new home. Then we're off to South Africa to hear about a man who makes his living in an unusual way. If you like the outdoors, and particularly fishing, you are sure to like this one. So if you are ready, let's listen and learn with the Voice of America. The Ellis Island Immigration Center, close to the lower end of New York City, was a busy place from 1892 to 1954. It processed large numbers of immigrants during those years. Most of the new arrivals came from Europe. But many people moved to North America before the U.S. government opened the center on Ellis Island and after it was closed. A new museum exhibition on the island tells about these immigrants. The exhibit cost $20 million to make. It is called The Peopling of America. Christopher Jones Cruz tells us more about it.
Stephen Briganti leads the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island Foundation. He says Ellis Island is expanding the way it tells about immigration.
A lot of people were coming here and saying, look, there's nothing here for me. My story isn't told here. Either I came early or, more likely, I've come recently and you don't say anything about me. So, one, we wanted to remain relevant, and two, we believed it was the right thing to tell the story, the entire story, and this was the right place to do it.
The exhibit shows the earliest days of European exploration in North America. It also tells about colonization and the conflicts with Native Americans, who are often called Indians. While most immigrants were free, many came as slaves. Others were indentured servants. They agreed to move to and work in America in exchange for their freedom. Clay Gish designed the exhibit. She says it was important to say not everyone was free.
We had to deal with slavery. Some people were brought here against their wills. But still, they experienced a journey. They ended up having to adapt to this new land.
A large part of the exhibit shows what happened in the years after 1954, when the Ellis Island Center closed. Immigrants came and continue to come to the U.S. legally and illegally, on airplanes or ships, and on foot. Michael Schneider designed the exhibit's technology and media.
And then we tell the individual story through specific interviews with real immigrants and their experience of making the trips.
And I came to the United States from Nigeria to go to college, and then I went to graduate school at NYU.
The new exhibit explores the changing face of immigration and the changing opinions of Americans on the issue. Rita McGregor visited the new museum. She is from the western city of Santa Fe, New Mexico, just north of the Mexican border.
I find it very interesting that we were so receptive to immigrants in a century ago, and now we do not treat them the same.
Mr. Briganti says immigration is an important part of the American story. He says Americans sometimes make it difficult for immigrants to come to the U.S. But he says we are a nation of immigrants, and we will continue to be. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
You are listening to the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Now, for something entirely different, we head to South Africa. Marcia James is here to tell us about a man who makes his living with his hands, making beautiful little fishing lures. Marcia?
Alpheus Nglovu has come a long way from his village in the South African province of Mpumalanga. He once worked as a taxi driver. Now he makes fishing flies, artificial man-made flies that are used to catch fish. The flies he now ties are used all over the world by fishers to make record-breaking catches. A man tests a fishing reel in the Fly Fishers Unlimited store in Johannesburg. Next to him is a quiet man in his 40s. Alpheus Nglovu is affectionately known as Alphonse in the flying fishing community. He is seated at a table. Right now, all of his attention seems to be on a fastener that holds a fishing fly. He wants the fly to look like a grasshopper.
Some guys, they send you a picture, just a picture, say, I want this fly. And if you check in a picture, you have to look what the exact material it is, and then you do it.
Alpheus Nglovu uses both natural materials, such as bird feathers, and artificial ones, like plastic and foam. His goal is to make flies look like real creatures. He remembers the first fly he ever tied more than 20 years ago. It was a Clouser minnow. Made of pink and white bucktail, it was used to catch saltwater game fish. Alpheus Nglovu likes to remember the day back in 1994 when he saw the newspaper advertisement that changed his life. The ad was for an apprentice, fly fishing rod builder. At the time, he was still driving a taxi. While making fishing rods, he met the owner of Fly Fishers Unlimited, Murray Petter, who taught him how to tie flies. Mr. Petter says Mr. Nglovu has developed into one of the best fly tiers on the planet.
He's better than me in certain flies without a doubt because he's just tied hundreds and hundreds of them, you know.
Mr. Petter jokes that Mr. Nglovu is so good that he even has groupies, people who like what he does and who follow him around.
Yeah, a lot of the guys, when they walk in the shop, they just say, how's it, Murray? And they go straight to Alpheus because they know he's tying the flies. Alphonse is the man, and he's brilliant at it. And he's got a band of loyal clients who regularly come in and say, look, I'm going here, going there. These flies catch fish all over the world, and it's nice to get feedback. It makes us feel great.
Hey, this is Tuesday. This is a bloody brilliant, unbelievable fish.
Oh, my.
Mr. Nglovu says there is nothing better than getting a telephone call from a happy fisherman, thanking him for tying a fly that resulted